I want you to hear what this says in Psalms 119:67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Is that what he says? You know, I keep coming back to this proverb. We think about this one. Let's look at this one more time. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. I mean, you know, when the afflictions begin to come upon you, you will realize that somewhere we've made a mistake. Somewhere, and there's sin in the camp. And that's the part that we sure don't like to hear. I don't like to hear that either, but I know it's real. And I'll tell you some of the experiences I had in the last week. But let's go to verse 119:89, I believe it is, Jordan. 89. How settled is the Word of God? Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. In other words, if he said it, it's sealed, isn't it? There ain't nothing you and me can do to change it other than obey. So I thought about this. And then let's go to Hebrews 10:26. And I want to think about some things here. And I want to show you some things that, and I'm going to tell you some things that happened to me this week. And as I prayed, the Lord revealed to me. Hebrews 10:26, it says, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin." Now, if you sin willfully. Now, do you think that by this time I ought to know that it's wrong to grumble? How many of you think I ought to know better than that? And you think I ought to know that for sure, right? Or if we sin willfully, next verse, Jordan 27. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment. Now, wait a minute. I mean, surely God wouldn't judge me. Would he, Tom?
Yes, he will.
Yes, he will. Yes, he has. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment. And now this one I really don't like. The fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. I really don't like that. Do you? No, but it's in the book, isn't it? Now then, next verse. He that despises Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Now, we took somebody under the old covenant. If they went out and done something that was worthy of death, and you had two or three witnesses that walked up and said, you know, in other words, let's just say we know that adultery was worthy of death. Let's just say that three of us guys got together. Three of us come up and you say, we saw Keith involved in adultery with a woman. And the counsel said, you saw him? I said, I saw him. I said, you saw him? I saw him. Three of us, and we're all lying. But upon those three witnesses, you could be stoned until death. That's awful, isn't it, Keith?
Sure.
But see, that's why it had to be at least two or three witnesses. You never take the witness of one person. But it says, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much more sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant. Now that's the covenant we were saved, wherewith we were sanctified, an unholy thing, and has done despite it unto the Spirit of grace. Okay, now see, somebody said, but if I grumble a little, this doesn't come into being. Oh yeah, it does. Do you know that it's wrong to grumble?
Amen.
Do I know that God says do all things without grumbling and complaining?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if I grumble and complain, I've just brought these scriptures to reality, haven't I? Okay, so I grumble and then I say, okay, God, I repent. Will he forgive me, Tom?
Yeah.
Yeah. But does that mean that there's necessarily not going to be a judgment to follow it? And that's the part that we don't like. See, I repent. Now then, after we see these scriptures right here, I'm going to tell you how my life started last Saturday. Last Saturday, Cheryl and I was going to go over to see Ty and Cheryl and take her little puppy. She wasn't feeling very good. She had a back problem or something. We didn't know what it was at the time, but she was having trouble walking. So, you know, we prayed over the little dog and everything. But anyway, we still were going to take her over. Number one, anybody that can go out to the airport and get in a twin-engine airplane with his wife and their dog to fly her over somewhere in 15 minutes that it'd take 2 hours to drive, number one, you ain't got no reason to complain, right? I mean, you'd think, see, because the average person don't have that privilege, do they? But we go out there, and I pull the airplane out of the hangar. Cheryl Mee's in it. And just about the time I get up there, a guy pulls in the gas pump in front of me in a big airplane. And he's sitting there fueling, and I'm sitting out there with both engines running. And all time, and he's not in any hurry. You know, he's just getting down, walking around slow. He's walking over like smoke rising off of buttermilk, you know, to get the hose out and drags it out here. And I'm thinking, why don't this guy hurry up? And I ain't saying nothing out loud, but I'm definitely grumbling under my... Anybody ever done that besides me? Oh, we all done those kind of things, haven't we, really? But I'm grumbling, like, why can't this guy hurry up? You know, I need to go. Well, I sat out there for at least 10 minutes while he puts fuel in his airplane. And then, after he finally gets in, I think he ain't never going to crank this thing. I mean, he's sitting up there in it. I thought, what is this guy waiting on? Don't he know where the starter switch is on that thing? Aren't you all glad that you're just as normal as I am, huh? He finally cranks up and taxis out. And so I pull up to the gas pump. And for the first time ever in my life of flying airplanes of 40 years, I get too close to the gas pump, a steel pole, and I break a light bulb out the end of the wingtip. When I get close, I thought, you know, I believe I'm going to miss that. And it looked like I missed it. All of a sudden, I felt a ka-thunk. And I thought, oh, I hit that light out on the wingtip. So I stopped, shut down the engines, got out there, and sure enough, I broke a little light on the end of the wingtip. Okay, so now then, I push the airplane back, run over to one of the little hangars over, and ask the guy, I said, have you got some duct tape? He said, well, no, I got some masking tape. I said, can I borrow a roll of it? Because I got to tape a light in so it don't flop. You know, because when you're flying 180 or 90 miles an hour, you know, a light can flop pretty hard. So I taped it in, tucked the light back, and then I put the fuel in and everything, thinking, oh, good grief, you know, if everything else, you know, now taking longer. Still lightly grumbling and complaining. I know that, you know, it's amazing how you do this. And so I put the fuel in, and then I'm in a hurry now, you know, so I taxi across the runway and come up to the other end, and I get up there and do a real quick run up, because I told Ty we'd be there at a certain time, see, and it's already that time, and I still got 15 minutes of flying time to get over there, or 2 hours driving, you know, so, but I run up to the end of the runway, do everything, do a quick check, don't do a real good job on the checklist, kind of, you knowing everything, you know, been flying these airplanes for years. So, and I get out there, and there was another guy sitting there. And so I called him. I said, you know, are you going to be there for a while? He said, go ahead and go. If you're in a hurry, go ahead. I'm not in a big hurry. So I pulled out in front of him and took off. We get airborne, and we're flying along there, and I look up, and the right door is partially open at the top. Then I think, oh, my lands, this airplane's got a handle up there to close the top, and I didn't close it. So now then I'm going to slow down, fly about 120, and so with the door ajar. So I flew 120 mile an hour across there with the door open, thinking, you know, you dummy, you can't even think to put the door, you know, still grumbling at myself, but I'm still grumbling. So I get over there at this little airport, and I line up right on the numbers. Everything looks perfect. I come right in, and I go to flare right on the end, and virtually no wind. And the airplane, it was a little 2,500-foot runway. And, of course, that's not a very long runway for a twin. So, anyway, I'm going to hit right on the numbers, and it won't land. It just floats, and I'm halfway down the runway before the wheels ever touch the first time. And I look in. And when you're doing that kind of speed, you know, it doesn't look very far to the end. And so I think, man, ain't no way I'm going to get stopped. I'm going to run off the end of the runway. So I just reach up and throw the throttle forward. And, of course, it leaps off the ground. This is the first time I've had to make a go-around. I don't even remember the last time I've ever had to do a go-around. But today I do. I come back around and again put it right on the numbers and land right on the end. This time it sits down pretty good, but I do bounce a couple of times. And I thought, wow, that's a lousy landing. I can't do nothing right today. So anyway, we go and take the dog over there and do all this, and we spend the afternoon with Ty and Cheryl. We go out to eat and everything. We have a great evening, and we come back and get in the airplane, fly back home, and we land over at Northwest and put it in a hangar, and everything appears to be going about half decent. And so Monday comes along, and I think, well, I do what? Oh, okay. And that's right. When we get back out there, that's right. Sure, I forgot about that one. Thank you, honey. Dave and his family come out to see us just about the time we land. And, of course, I'm standing around talking to them, and I raise up. And when I do, I raise up under the wingtip of the 421, and bam. I mean, you know, just not like hitting you in the head with a hammer, you know. And, of course, little John David, you know, he said, "You got an ouch. You got an owie." Which I did. Yeah, so, and he wants to pray for me. So I said, okay, that's right. A little two-year-old wants to pray for me, you know. So, okay, so humble myself, let the little two-year-old pray for me. Well, come Monday, I think, well, I go fix that light on the airplane. So I go out there and I pull the light off and everything. And when I'm pulling it off, I think, well, that front lens is gone and that it jammed the little piece. So I thought, well, I'll push the lens, the back one, out. And so I went to push it out, not knowing that down underneath there, it had broke that one too. And I didn't even look. I just put my thumb in there to push it out. And when I did, I put it on a piece of razor-sharp glass and just ripped it right down. But this time I said, okay, God, you got my attention. Lord, what have I done wrong? Whatever it is, repent. I repent. Lord, I repent. I know no curse comes upon me undeserved. Proverbs 26:2. No curse comes upon me undeserved. I've had too many things. I've had more things happen in the last 2 or 3 days than I've had in the last 2 or 3 months. So something's wrong. I've done something wrong. And it's obviously grumbling and complaining. So anyway, I finally have to drive to Fort Worth and get me another light, a little dinky light. Cost $200 to go on the wingtip of that airplane. So, you know, if you don't have a little extra money, don't buy an airplane.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website. Or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.